Is that your desire? Was that your prayer? Fill me up, Lord. Fill my cup. Let it overflow. Where does that come from? Where do our desires come from? Do you think it's God? Or could it be, you know, the trappings of the world? I'll tell you what, there is a commercial that displays this really cool car, and it's whatever the girl says, this is mine. It is who I am. This car makes me who I am. I'll tell you what, my Savior, my Lord, is who makes me who I am. I don't know about you, but I think that's a good foundation to build on. I got here too early this morning, so my computer fell asleep. And I have to get through Fort Knox to get to all the valuable information that I have put to paper this week. I'm not sure, is it ringing a little in here with a, it's okay, I'll just keep going forward. You know, before I begin today, I just want us to take time to be emptied out. Maybe so we can be filled up. So I'd like to begin our service with just a moment of silence. Like, and I'll begin to pray when it gets so loud in here we can't hear. Father, thank you for this day where we get away from the hustle and the bustle, and that we can just take time to focus on our breath as we breathe in and exhale. Pray that we would recognize that that breath is from you, that you're the one that gives us life. God, I pray that this morning you would have opportunity to move, to pick up the hammer and do a little chipping. Take out the shop vac and suck up some of the dust. God, I pray that we would not be distracted, that I would not be distracted, that you would be able to move in a mighty and powerful way, that the things of this world wouldn't distract us, but that we would be focused on you. Teach us your way, Lord. Help us to seek you. Give us new understanding. Open our eyes. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have been discussing who is Jesus. When we think about who he is, we have taken time to write down, he is my scapegoat. I don't know who wrote that, but it is true. You know, we don't have to just give the Sunday school answers. You know, he's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my best friend. He's my counselor. He's my guide. So who is Jesus to you? And if you have no idea, walk through the door, down the hallway, turn right, and there's a bulletin board full of hearts with a description of who Jesus is to us. We've looked at how God has impacted our lives. It is he that gives us power and authority. Yes, church? Like we don't breathe without him. In him there is life. He sustains us. He keeps us. This is what we've been talking about for about a month now. Yes? And I think it all comes down to the root, the foundation. And so today we're going to look at the foundation of faith. Faith is a word we hear thrown around all the time in cliche sayings such as, keep the faith. It takes a leap of faith. I'm walking in faith. Oh, you just need a little faith. But what is faith? The Free Dictionary lists faith as, and then they give a little description. Faith is confidence or trust in a person or a thing. Faith in another's ability. I put my faith in the ability of God. That's a pretty sound definition. Belief that is not based on proof. He had faith that the hypothesis would be substantiated by fact. Belief in God or in the doctrines or teachings of religion, and then they suggest the faith of the pilgrims. Belief in anything as a code of ethics, standards of merit, etc., etc., to be of the same faith with someone concerning honesty. A system of religious belief. That's the Christian faith, the Jewish faith. This is all in the dictionary. If you don't know what faith is, this describes faith. The obligation of loyalty or fidelity to a person, promise, engagement, etc. Failure to appear would be breaking faith. The observance of this obligation, fidelity to one's promise, oath, allegiance, etc. He was the only one that proved his faith during the recent troubles. It's a description of faith. And I was pleasantly surprised to see that in the dictionary, they saved the best for last. Of course, it was hidden. But if you click show more, this is what you read. The trust in God and in his promises is made through Christ and the scriptures by which humans are justified and saved. That's in the dictionary. Well, that excites me. Do you know what the Bible has to say about faith? Well, last week at the close of the message, the Spirit prompted me to share Hebrews 11:1. Well, promptly, mainly because it's the opening line to that chapter that's considered the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So at the end of the day, faith knows and understands that in every circumstance that we experience in life, God is there. Today we're going to be looking at some of the people listed in the Hall of Faith, as well as others that are described in the Bible that display faith on the foundation of, listen, their God. We opened with Psalm 25, you, O God, you're my keeper, you're my. Is he your? If you're acquainted with God's word, immediately you probably think of Abraham when you think of faith. Yes? I mean, if you're acquainted with God's word, Abraham in Genesis 15:6 believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted him righteous because of his faith. Throughout the Old Testament, we find people of faith. In Exodus 14:31, we're told, when the people of Israel saw the mighty power of the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant, Moses. You know, later, when you get flipping through the Old Testament, it's really encouraging. It's uplifting. It gives us the stuff we need to stand on. 2 Samuel 2:9, we are assured he, that's God, will protect his faithful ones. But the wicked will disappear into darkness. No one will succeed by strength alone. That's what we read in God's word. We must have faith to stand. That's where my strength comes from. 10 chapters later in 1 Samuel 12:24, we're made aware of the action we must take. Don't think we can sit idly by and God is just going to shower us with great stuff. It ain't going to happen. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, be sure. So in other words, pay attention. To what, James? I want to know. 1 Samuel 12:24. Be sure to fear the Lord and faithfully serve him. Think of all the wonderful things he has done for you. Is that what we're doing as we go about our day? Like, thank you, Jesus, for that breath. Thank you, Lord, for making that car miss me. Thank you that that fill in the blank. Are we just praising God and worshiping him in all things? At all times? Where does faith come from? You should know this. I've said it the last 3 weeks running. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this faith is not of yourselves. This faith in God is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God that no one can boast. Faith can only come from a heart that God has done a work in. The Bible speaks of this as regenerated by God. So you see, faith is a gift from God. It is the way that God chooses to bring salvation to his people. Are you his people, people? Then you have faith, not of yourselves, in yourselves, but in God. Yes? All right, there's one. This is a gift to be used and maintained, not left to fade away, but to be ever increasing, as we saw last week, if you were here. It's the ability to believe God is who he says he is. Trusting in him for all things, in all things. We strengthen our faith by reading the Bible and hearing the message of the gospel. The more time we spend immersing ourselves in the truth of God's word, the more confidence in him grows. Garbage in, garbage out. What are we putting into our minds? What are we thinking on as we go about the day? Is Christ your focus? Everyone who is saved has been gifted with faith. It is this faith that helps us overcome unbelief. It motivates us to do what God has set in place for us to do. Faith and belief are often used interchangeably, but they're not quite the same. Right? Let me show the difference. Definitions for belief, and I'll paraphrase, is a strongly held opinion about an idea or worldview. Beliefs are also opinions that you form from what you read, see, or hear. What you need to understand is that beliefs can change over time as we grow and we learn more things. Faith, on the other hand, can only be received. It must be given by God. We grow in our faith, yes, but the foundation is always the same. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So belief in God is a starting place. But who cares? The demons believe. So here's my point. You can believe there's one true God. Good. But is he your God? That's what you have to answer. God produces faith in us by giving new hearts, by opening our eyes that we can see him, by unstopping our ears so we can know that we do need him. Listen, church, we need him. Every hour I need thee. Every hour. There are all too many people in this world that say they believe in God, but the way they live their life doesn't change. If you're the way you were when you were 10, when you accepted Christ and you remain there, we're to be growing, increasing, desiring more. I've said that for 5 years. If there's more, God, show me. I want to know more. Show me more. Teach me more. Forgive me more. We talked earlier. No, I'm sorry. I want to tell you this too, because this is key. Faith changes how we live our lives. It motivates us to keep moving forward at all cost. At all cost, Lord, I will serve you. But I wish I knew somebody like that. And the Bible is slopping over with references of people who have made it, that they had their focus fixed on God. We talked earlier about Abraham. We see his faith in God in action when he was called to sacrifice his own son. And what blows me away is how quick he responded to God's call after he told him where to go. He had faith that God would provide. We read in Genesis 22, 1 through 8, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up. He loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he sent out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up, and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey, while I and the boy go over there. Pay attention here. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. How does that work? Faith. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went along, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. I might add, walking in faith. So cliche. Or is it? They're walking by faith. Look, he knew his God would provide. And when you read the rest of the chapter, Genesis 22, you see the outcome. And if you're acquainted, you know the outcome. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? In Daniel chapter 3, no doubt they had faith when King Nebuchadnezzar tossed them into the firing furnace. They took a, listen, leap of faith that God would save them. Listen to what they say in Daniel 3, 17 and 18. I love this. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. This is a picture of faith in action. They knew who they were before they left the house. And when the rough times came, they stood firm. How do we do that? Are we standing on that which we say we believe? Look at what happens in verses 27 and 28. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." They trusted in him and defied the king's command. Were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Their own God. Talk about a living testimony. Are you willing to die when you're in the fire? Look, I thought about this morning. I make coffee every morning. We have a gas stove. My little carafe that I put in the stove has a handle. And if I put it over the burner, my hairy hands singe from just a little flame on a stove. We heat our house with wood. I throw wood in the firebox and it smells like a ring bologna. And these guys walked through fire with nothing. No singed hair. No. How powerful is your God? These are just a couple accounts of men who stood by their faith in their God. Faith is displayed in women as well. Think of Mary, the woman called of God to be the mother of the Savior of the world. How does that work? Mary trusted in her God. And the role he had chosen for her. You will be the mother of the Son of God. What? You know, right after Mary says, "How can this be?" Luke 1, 35 through 8 says, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled in me." God is speaking things into your life. If we are listening, paying attention, being obedient, and taking an action. None of these people so far have not taken an action. To be used of God, listen.
You just need a little faith. Just a little faith. Mary had just a little faith. God used her in mighty ways.
Good little Esther, another woman that has a powerful testimony of faith in God. She's willing to lay down her life. Listen to one small bite of a conversation she's having with those that are closest to her. Just before she goes to the king unannounced, which is a life-threatening thing when you read the account, and if Esther... Well, start in the beginning of Esther. She's about to go expose Haman's evil plan to kill the Jews. We read in Esther 4, 12 through 16. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, He sent back this answer. Do not think because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. I love this. Action. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I'll go to the king, even though it's against the law. And listen to her thought. If I perish, I perish. Yep. Keep the faith in action. When you're saved, you have power and authority that is not to be left on the table. One of the many accounts on faith include Moses. He had to put his faith into action when God asked him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, cross the Red Sea into a place they had no idea where they were going. They left everything they knew at all costs. And then something slips in. Listen to the valuable instruction given to the people when the situation looked so grave. You know the story, you know? They're being led out. I love this. Exodus 14, 10 through 14 says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified. They cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been far better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. The Bible says, be still and know that I am your God. In this busy world we live, how often are you still? What is it that you're actively doing to increase the faith you possess? We started the service in silence. Still. Did you recount the lyric of the hymn before you? Did you hear the creaks in the floor? Did you hear the knocking of feet here and there? It was quiet. No distraction. Be still. Know that I am your God. Did I ask what you're doing to actively increase your faith? Did I ask you what is keeping you from building your strong faith? More than likely, it's the things of the world. I don't have time. I'm too busy. When I come home from work, I just need to sit in front of the TV and defrag. And then we spend the next 3 hours there until we fall asleep, and then we wake up at 2 and we go to bed. Or is that just me? Okay, so it's just me, I confess. If you're struggling in your faith, ask God to increase your faith. He will. No one's perfect. We all make mistakes. But if you focus on following the instructions found in God's word and obeying them, your faith will naturally grow. Spend time reading and hearing God's word. Set a time every day to be reading God's word. Soak it into your heart and your soul. This is how you renew your mind. Ruth, thanks for saying, hey, my sermons are recorded. You can hear it 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm not saying anything new. I'm sure you're going, James, move on. I know how life gets busy. So try this. Before you start your commute to and from work, pull up your phone. What is it? Christ LTC Weebly. How do you get to the church's website? I have no idea because I don't go there. Sorry. Oh, it's in your bulletin. There you go. Where is it? I'll just read it. Where is it? There it is. Christ LTC at hotmail.com. The website. Look, christlittletopahawken.weebly.com. That's where you go. Okay, you have the directions written down. Anybody can go there except for me. I know. All I have to do is click and it goes right there. But anyway. So pull up a sermon. And it doesn't have to be me. Put on David Jeremiah or Chip Ingram. I mean, there's the whole world of people to listen to. Or pull up your phone, open an app, and let somebody read God's word to you while you're driving your car. What do you mean I don't have time? Well, turn off WKRP or whatever it is, radio station you're listening to. You know, when you read God's word and then you listen to a Christian radio station, you find that an awful lot of these singers are singing scripture. And then you get to sing along and you go, hey, you know, that makes sense. And we have VBSs, we have little jingles, you know. What is it if you want to be a fruit? If you want to be a fruit. And then it lists the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, active learning. See, he even knows the fruit of the Spirit. Good job, Caleb. I had a 50-50 chance. Anyway, look, we have been gifted right at our fingertips to multitask. Whether you're doing the dishes or cutting the grass, you can get God's word into your heart, soul, and mind, into the core of your being. And that is what we need to strengthen for when the rough times come. Because they're coming. Look, you're in three positions in this world. You're either coming out of a hard time, in a hard time, or headed for better times. I choose the last. I just want to have a better day today. Better than yesterday is a good day today. Look, I save the most important for last in hope that it will be the first remembered. Spend time in prayer. It's free. That's the one thing in this life you can do for free. Just pray. There's no cost. The time spent with, listen, your Lord in prayer makes monumental differences in the outcome of the situations that you may find yourself in. Your time alone with God is when you get to tell him what's on your mind. God, I don't. God, I can't. God, I praise you. What's on your mind when you go before the Lord? Is it always, well, would you do this and do this and do this and give me this and give me that and I need this? Is that where we go to the Lord, really? Do you ever take time to just be still and say, God, you're so cool. You're magnificent. You're wonderful. You're awesome. You're powerful. You're my God. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. Or do you go with a laundry list of requests? Just make my life easy. Get this out of my way and do this, that, and the other. I don't think I'd want to spend time with you either. Is God moving in your life? What if you turn your prayers upside down? Think of him first, and then you. How about if you turn that upside down? Think of him first, others first, and then you. Jesus, others, yourself. You know what that spells? Joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So can I suggest this week to take time to be still? Go ahead, make your request, but then follow up. Listen for the instruction. And then, there's more. Watch and see what happens. You may wind up waiting for years, but keep making your request. Keep listening for the response. And keep watching and seeing. You know what happens? Your faith will grow. It happens naturally. God has laid a foundation we are to build on. How you choose to build is completely up to you. Father, I thank you that you have an instruction manual for us. You have a history book for us. You have a poetic book for us. You have the living book that gives us life. God, would you create in us a desire to be in it, to live it out, and to share it with others? Help us to be those you created us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.